This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good morning, Rutherford County, and have a great show lined up today. Have Mr. Jeff Jordan on, and he's one of our great local celebrities, and I really appreciate you being on. You know, it's not often I get to interview people who have got a whole page devoted to them in the newspaper. That was absolutely astounding when I picked that up this morning.
Well, you know what they do with day-old newspaper, Truman. I mean, you know that.
Well, what do you do if you don't have a parakeet?
It's in the trash, I'm sure. Uh-huh. Oh, man, how are you this morning?
I'm doing great. You know, I looked at that, and I'm so proud of you. You really have. You've made a turn, and you kind of look like Arnold Schwarzenegger these days.
Yeah.
I mean, you really do.
I think you may be exaggerating a touch.
I don't think so.
Also, do we have to compare me to Arnold? Really, that can get me in a lot of trouble.
Let's hear your Arnold.
No, you will not hear that. No. Oh, maybe. I tell you what, it is a great time of year. Although I don't like this weather and what it's fixed to do.
But no.
The American Heart Association, of course, this is their month, and their walk is coming up Sunday, and then. They honored me as kind of, I guess, I don't know, being their spokesman or something this time, which is wonderful. But there are a lot of people that could have done that and done a better job, I'm sure. But the important thing is the event, and that's very big.
Why did they pick the day after the winter starts blowing in?
Well, I don't think that was a plan, but it looks like it may rain this afternoon and may put a damper. I guess that's a poor pun on some great football tonight. But anyway, and maybe tomorrow, too. We just have to wait and see.
Yeah, we are in the football season. But I did want to tell you how proud I was of you, because you were really hitting the ground running. And people don't realize what a great venue we have here for people who want to get out and improve their lives, exercise, and stay healthy. You know, we're just here for a short time, so why not keep it healthy while you're here?
Right, and we do have a number of places, both in the county and in the city, where walking is on the tracks, and they're open to recreation at various places. Of course, we've got SportsCom, Patterson Park in the city. You got a wonderful Greenway that I know that's where you walk. Mm-hmm. I usually walk one of two places. I walk in the Seton Building out there by the hospital.
Yeah.
Brian Lowe runs that operation out there. Some great folks out there. Then I just walk in my kind of an enclosed area of the Bellwood subdivision, which does not have heavy traffic, and so I walk over there a lot. And I'm not the only one. There's a lot of people in that neighborhood. I pass them every day, or they pass me walking. So it's great. You know,
you're a social type person, so I figured you would be a Greenway walker, because I see people out there all the time.
Yeah.
That's the only time I ever get to see them, and it's so much fun to be out there. People don't realize what a great thing that is for the community.
Well, it is. Oh, it, absolutely. I forget. There's like 14, 15 miles of Greenway in it. There's a lot of Greenway.
Yeah, it's even more than that.
Yeah, and so you can get your program going and get your time and stopwatch or whatever, however seriously you want to do it. But the idea, of course, is, and this does create a problem. I know it's got to create a problem for you, is that people want to talk.
Yeah.
And I want to
talk. But I love that.
I want to talk, too.
Yeah.
But if you're trying to get your heart rate up to a certain level and keep it there for an extended period, you really can't stop and talk. So I guess maybe sometimes people get mad, but I guess a lot of people are glad I don't stop. So, you know, whatever.
Well, being the type of person that you are, I mean, you have always been in to some type of community work or work that benefits the community. I mean, you were a teacher for a long period of time, also in administration and education. You're a coach. You've done everything. And then you got into local politics. You've been a county commissioner for a number of years. And what is it that drives you toward those particular ends? Because I've always considered the county commission job one of the toughest jobs there is, because there are so many different aspects of government that go before you, and it's very difficult to keep up with all of it. It's almost like sitting in Congress and the bills pass before you. And do I really realize all the things that are going on with this particular
subject? Well, there's a lot of reading involved for sure, and listening and discussion. Mm-hmm. And of course, our county runs on the as most do, most governments do, on a committee system where a lot of different people look at it, and a lot of different eyes look at it, and it can be very tough. But I was at a meeting last night that I just went to. I wasn't part of it at all, and it was both school boards last night. Mm-hmm. And which reminds me to say hello to Butch Campbell. I'm sure he's listening this morning. Butch has had back surgery and is in Adams Place rehabbing. And so, Butch, I know you're listening because you always listen to the show, and he's doing good. He's going to be okay.
I didn't realize he was at Adams Place.
Yeah, he decided
he was going home.
He could have, but he decided just to rehab there for a week. He'll be out next week, and I would assume be back in his accustomed pew on a future Sunday pretty soon. But anyway, everybody else was there, and from both city and the county school board, they met together with all our legislators. Mm-hmm. So, and you know, Truman, you look at these people, and I think it's fair to say almost every one of them is just looking for a way to give back. Mm-hmm. That's really what they're trying to do. They're trying to serve their community. We might disagree with them, each other, have an argument, have a debate, have a discussion, whatever, do one thing or not do something. But I think that's basically why they're there. There's not a lot of money in it, as you know.
Oh, yeah.
And public service people and charity people, nonprofits, you know, you're not going to make any money there, serious money. But there is that feeling of giving back to your community, and there's a lot of that. And there's a lot of it in Murfreesboro, period.
As you know, and we were talking about this earlier, one of the, I guess, biggest assets for a community leader such as yourself when you're having to deal with so many different people on the county commission is the ability to listen. And I have seen so much of that over the years, so for all the years that I had to deal with it, and all the different personalities and all the different views that how they look upon each subject. And it's amazing how government is able to work as efficient as it is, because everybody has certain goals that they're looking for.
Yeah, I guess that's I'm sure that's true. I think the ability or the willingness, at least, to listen and actually consider what the other person is saying. Right. And I had a boss of mine one time tell the group, really not just me, but everyone, said never discount the fact that you could be wrong. Mm-hmm. And in other words, listen to the options, and there may be a better way of doing it. You know, just because you've made up your mind doesn't necessarily mean you know, you were right. You may be wrong, or there may be a compromise in there somewhere. And I think that's extremely important on the county commission. If you don't listen, you're going to be lost.
And the thing, and being a county commission, you're closer to your people who are in your voting precinct. I mean, we were talking about from 54 and then 42, 21 county commissioners. And it's hard not to focus a lot, although your main focus is on the entire county, but it's hard not to focus when you're having people in your district wanting certain things. It's almost like a pork barrel type situation.
It can be. Mm-hmm. It really can be, and it's particularly true, I think, when you get outside the city, because the city, you know, my district is entirely in the city. Mm-hmm. It's Cason Lane and Bellwood and Riverdale. Mm-hmm. So when you get outside the city limits where the city has no jurisdiction, then those commissioners may have a little bit heavier load, and they definitely have a larger area to cover without question, because the county controls the zoning there, where they don't have to compromise with the city or anything like that. But there are people in my district, which is District 13, that I have known for over 50 years. Wow. You know, and but when you get out into the county, and some of these county commissioners, they have known some of these people, and their families have known the other family for maybe 100 years.
Right,
and they may have worked for them at one time on their farms, that kind of thing, you know. And it's an interesting process.
I would say the people in the county probably have more people trying to push their buttons than the ones in the city is what I would think, because they, just like you said earlier, they have a close relationship with those particular people, and they feel like that they should listen to them. And I can understand that. I mean, being a citizen of Rutherford County, you want your government to operate as efficiently as possible. And that's one of the toughest things about being a county commissioner, I think, is you get a lot of calls on really tender items that come up before the commission. And it may be something strictly an emotional thing, or it could be a business thing.
It could be any of that. And, and that person may have an agenda or just a feeling about something, you know, that they didn't like. And sometimes it can be personal, you know, also. But it seems to work fairly well. The history of the thing of county commissioners, you and I were talking about a little bit about 30 minutes ago, is that many years ago, decades ago, when this, and by the way, I really enjoy Greg Tucker when he's on here.
Hey,
I tell you what, I really enjoyed his, it's almost like a history class, you know, and it's really interesting. But at any rate, the idea behind the commissioners, and they were called squires, I think, in the first, and then later magistrates, is that you have a person in a local area that, let's say Rockvale, which today is what, 10 minutes from right here?
Yeah.
Well, when, excellent. You know, 100 years ago, it was a pretty good ride by horseback. So the idea was that you have a...
Did you make stops on the way?
Well, anyway, I'm moving on here, folks. Mm-hmm. You have a squire there, and...
Thomas Stegall for many years.
I think like six terms.
Yeah,
and I went to school with his daughter, and he drove the school bus, as a matter of fact, also. But at any rate, if you had a problem, it could be a land boundary, or it could be maybe somebody stole a chicken or two. Mm-hmm. It could be things, you know. They didn't want to go to court. They didn't want to come to Murfreesboro and spend all day, and then have to come back. Mm-hmm. So they got the squire. And that was also true, and it remains true today. If you want to get married, the squire could marry him. Still can. Mm. I've performed four weddings, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I really have, and that's very few.
Do you go all through all the counseling there with them before?
I do counsel with them, yeah.
Aren't you required, 4 hours or something?
Well, no, I don't think so. No. Anyway, that's what the squire did. Mm-hmm. And so that a person wouldn't have to waste all day coming back and forth to the General Sessions Court or whatever it was called back then. Well, they still represent a small area, and it is really the first level, I guess, of government is the county commission.
It is.
They are closer to the people in their area than you would be to a city councilman in the city of Murfreesboro, for instance. You've really got seven people there that represent the entire city, that sort of thing. So it's kind of democracy at its very root.
You're one of these people that you have been very interested in all forms of government that comes before the county commission. And let's take education. Education is a very complicated process when you're dealing with it in all levels. But when it comes to working with the school board, and then, of course, you work with the Murfreesboro School Board, and you deal with monetary issues, building issues, and those type things. Do you feel like that is a good screening process for government? Or, you know, in other states, you will see, say, the county school board, or whichever school board it is in a particular area, is they're elected, and they're in charge of all the financial workings that go on within the educational process there. Do you feel like that we have a fair process to meet it out and give it its just dues all the way across the board? Because if you look at education, it's a major part of the tax assessment. It really is. I mean, you're looking at 70% probably above.
Yeah, right, more probably. Here.
Especially in Rutherford County because of all the schools and the population increase, it just won't slow down.
If you count in building and all the related costs that go into buildings and cafeterias, which are separate from the regular school budget, cafeterias have to stand on their own. If you count those in there, as well as obviously what it costs to run the schools. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of, I don't know if it quite reaches 80% of our total budget or not, but it's certainly 75. Mm-hmm. And your question is it safe and is it fair? And no, probably not. I occasionally get a chance to speak to local middle school or high school groups on local government, and just did one the other day out at the Central Magnet, and had a great class out there. Really, two classes, Mr. Kersey and Ms. Huffman's classes, and I asked them, and I always ask, have you ever heard your parents? Are they ever mad at the government? Mm-hmm. Well, of course, you know how many hands go up. All of them. Yeah, they're all mad about something, mm-hmm. And I would assume most of the time it's probably Obamacare or federal taxes, or mm-hmm. it's something in that, you know, right. Something going on at that time. But they're not really all that experienced with local affairs. Mm-hmm. Now, the school board, and by the way, I would join them in that. I'm usually mad, if mad is the right term. I'm seldom happy with the state of Tennessee. But
join the club.
Yeah, I know. But maybe they're not happy with us. I don't know. And I'm not here to talk about the politics of the situation either, but the school board, get back to your, I guess, original question, the school board and the director and a terrific staff, in our case at least.
Really do.
Yeah.
Unbelievably.
Yeah, they are really good. Is to determine what is best for the education in Rutherford County for our county students, which is just about everybody, about almost 40,000 youngsters now. The city has about 7,000 that fall under their authority, all below the sixth grade or below. And then the school board makes a recommendation as to what they need. It could be something major, mm-hmm. like Stewart's Creek High School, which we're going to open in a year, and we were just desperate for it.
Yeah.
Or it could be something that's not quite as large, the recently completed Eagleville expansion, which was about Stewart's Creek, just the cash that was needed, not the interest, not the opening cost, none of that, but just, you know, it was right at $50 million. And Eagleville, I forget the exact total, but it's somewhere in the neighborhood of about $4.5 million. Not as big a project, but equally important to the folks at Eagleville and the students there. No mm-hmm. question about that. And we're only half through with a proposal out there eventually. Or it could be something, Truman, very small. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just talking about education things now. It could be an addition, say, of a couple of classrooms or an expansion on an auditorium or a cafeteria. I know we're looking at a library right now. It's somewhere in a primary. It may be in our future down the line. And it's their job, the school board's job, to recommend that and ask for that from the county commission. And then it's our job to fund it in part or not fund it at all or table it for later or whatever. But I think it's important to remember, this is also something you and I were discussing, mm-hmm. is that those seven people on the school board, and three of them are brand new, but they are professional people.
Right.
Our three new people are very professional. Mm-hmm. They're going to be fine. It's the voters, and who are all taxpayers, have voted these people into office, and it is their job to recommend. They're the experts on education.
Right.
And the county commission's got to worry about law enforcement and roads and PAWS and juvenile detention and record keeping and, you know, just a whole bunch of things. But they're involved with education. So the tendency is to, I mean, after all, I think they were duly elected, I think we should listen.
Yeah.
And we can argue with them and weigh and offer some options, but
your attention is spread all over the place. You have so many different responsibilities, and they're totally committed to the school's budget. And, you know, very few times I've seen any type of maybe an inner problem working together, but you know as well as I do, some of that stuff has to be done. I mean, you really don't have a choice. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Jeff Jordan.
This is Rutherford County's Blue Raider Station, FM 100.5 and 101.9, AM 1450, WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Tennessee Radio Network News, I'm Kristen Thubert. State election officials are asking the Tennessee Supreme Court to overturn an appeals court ruling yesterday upholding the state's new voter ID law. The challenge comes from the city of Memphis and two registered voters who don't have state-issued photo IDs. For now, voters can use photo ID cards issued from the public library in addition to other state-issued IDs like driver's license, but they can also use library-issued cards only for a provisional ballot. An elderly couple was pulled out of a burning home yesterday morning by Good Samaritans. Memphis fire officials say the fire started in the garage and quickly spread. Two neighbors saw the fire, broke a window, and saved the couple. Larry Redwood was one of them.
I did what I think with any average person in the world. You know, if someone's life is in danger, I mean, my humanity, it just kicked in, and I knew I had to help and do something.
One of the rescuers hurt his hand but is expected to be okay. A home next door and two vehicles were also damaged. The cause of that fire is still under investigation. With state unemployment still over 8%, many recent college graduates are entering an extremely competitive job market with a lot of debt. Tennessee's class of 2011 graduated with an average debt of $20,000. The report says 53% of Tennessee graduates leave college with a diploma and some debt from student loans.
This moment of uncontrollable laughter was made possible by a 32-year-old man with little to no coordination attempting to execute a simple cartwheel. His name is Sergeant Warner, but young James, our laughing friend here, simply calls him Dad. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Me, a cat moving in with a new human. It took a little getting used to. She has these weird games she likes to play, like this giant feather. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. She sticks it in my face. I swat it away. It's almost like she thinks I enjoy it. But seeing how much fun she gets out of it, well, I guess it makes it all worth it. Humans.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
East Ridge officials are investigating whether they can make an exception to a rule allowing no livestock within city limits for a family's pet pygmy goat, Oreo. The city council earlier this month voted down a blanket exception for pygmy goats and potbelly pigs. Jeffrey Villar and his two children didn't give up and presented a petition last night with about 100 signatures asking for an exception that applied only to Oreo. Vice Mayor Larry Sewell asked the council to consider the exception. City Attorney John Anderson says he'll check into whether such an amnesty provision is available for the goat. I'm Kristen Thoburn, Tennessee Radio Network News.
With the cost of college rising every day, there's never been a better time to start saving. That's why the Tennessee Department of Treasury created the new Tennessee Stars College Savings 529 program. Visit www.tnstars.com to open an account with as little as $25. If you're a Tennessean and you open an account with at least $50 by December 31st, you get a one-time $50 match from the state. Plus, if you roll over your entire balance from another college savings plan, you'll receive $100 in your account. To learn about the Tennessee Stars College Savings 529 program, its investment objectives, risks, and costs, read the official statement available at www.tnstars.com or call toll-free at 855-386-7827. Check with your home state to learn if it offers tax or other benefits for investing in its own 529 plan. Open your Tennessee Stars account online at www.tnstars.com or call toll-free at 855-386-7827. Don't wait. Open your account today.
Enjoy delicious homemade soup on a cold day and help Habitat for Humanity. Yes, Habitat for Humanity's Cooking to Build will be Saturday, November 3rd. It's on the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza. You get to keep the hand-painted bowl and enjoy all the soup, stew, and chili. I'll be broadcasting there, too. Habitat for Humanity's Cookin' to Build, Saturday, November the 3rd, 11 a.m. until 1:30 p.m. on the Murfreesboro Civic Plaza in front of the library.
Maybe your broker has given you the cold shoulder. At Edward Jones, the level of service we provide is based on your personal needs and preferences, not the size of your investment portfolio. This is Lee Colvin of Edward Jones, and whether you're starting an investment plan or have accumulated a sizable portfolio, I can help you. I provide highly individualized, face-to-face service to each investor. Call me today, Lee Colvin, at 907-7056. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
WeatherEye.
We have a chance for showers and a few rumbles of thunder, mainly cloudy skies, highs in the mid-60s. We'll have a light wind out of the north-northwest. I'm WGNS staff meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Currently 55.
And right now, we have some rain out toward West Tennessee, crossing the Mississippi River, between Mississippi River and the Tennessee River. So some rain around 11:30, 12 o'clock this morning. And we'll have some rain to deal with throughout the day. Congratulations to our good neighbor of the day, Christine Huddleston, at the Room in the Inn. She receives flowers from Ryan's Flowers and Gifts. And our birthday cake winner, Jay Marable. Jay receives the birthday cake from Junior's Foodland.
That update brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Introducing Progressive's exclusive Snapshot Discount, a program that tracks your good driving and rewards it with discounts. Find out more at progressive.com. Again, that's progressive.com.
He knows Rutherford County as good as anybody. Truman Jones. It's the Truman Show here on WGNS AM and FM.
And welcome back. It's actually Jeff Jordan's show. And this part of the show, yeah, I blame it on you. It's brought to you by Absolute Auction, which is going to be tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. That's tomorrow morning at 10:30 a.m. at 2925 Coleman Hill Road. 2925 Coleman Hill Road. And it is an absolutely beautiful piece of land. You've got to go out and see it. They've got four tracts. They've got a 14-acre, a 10-acre, 11-acre, and 16-acre tracts. And they're all perk sites, got a good well. And it's a combination of woods, pasture, plus along with great features, each of the tracts offers the lucky buyer a rare chance to purchase land conveniently located between Franklin and Murfreesboro. It's just minutes off of Highway 96, and it's perfect for your dream home, horses, hunting, and more. And, you know, Jeff, this would be a great place for you. You've talked about getting out of the city and moving out in the country where it's, you know, you can watch the deer play and all that other stuff, and you can walk at your leisure wherever you want to go, out there in that healthy air. I mean, it's just absolutely... I tell you what, I've looked at this. This is absolutely a beautiful piece of property. And if you'd like to know more about it, you can call Larry Sims, who's the auctioneer, at 615-300-8321. And leave off the 615. It's 300-8321. Larry Sims at www.larrysims.com. Or call David Gilliam, who is the agent, 506-9353. 506-9353. I'd get there early, or maybe you can go out this afternoon and take a look at it. You can't find a prettier piece of property, and it's 51 acres in all. And we were talking about education, I think, before we went off the air. And I had asked you, are we able to look at it without our attention span being shifted to other places? Do you think having that responsibility for the county commissioners is a responsibility that is utilized well? I know it is with you, because you have such a strong heart toward education, and you have the knowledge and an experience of what has to be done. Do you think that we are using the right process to deal with that?
Well,
and well, this is just opinionated.
Yeah, and that's an extremely difficult question. Let me say this. The education that you and I know, mm-hmm. and the process that we went through, is far, far removed.
Yes.
From what is going on today, for better or worse, it is extremely complicated and getting more so every day, with the federal government being involved, state government heavily involved, and I do mean heavily involved.
And that's not always a good thing.
No, it's not. When I want to be careful here. I'm not trying to make anybody mad, but
well, it's people opinions.
People that know mm-hmm. how the system works and know what I'll pick out one person.
Go ahead.
You pick a high school. Just pick one in Rutherford County. Just pick one. I don't care.
Okay, let's say Siegel.
Okay, Siegel High School. They have a new principal, mm-hmm. all right? Mr. Bridgman, I met him when he was at Holloway. Mm-hmm. A terrific, dynamic kind of guy, mm-hmm. all right? In my judgment, first of all, he has one of the maybe 10 or 12 or 15 of the toughest jobs in the county, anywhere,
mm-hmm. business
or anything, mm-hmm. okay? It is really tough, and he has got to be all over various things that come from the state, the local government, the federal government. It is far removed from what John Swofford had to put up with and do at Central. His problems were different. They were big.
Yeah.
They're big problems. He had problems, no mm-hmm. question about it. But one thing it didn't involve much was test scores. You know, you got in there, you had an honor roll, you had a principal's list, you graduated or you didn't. And most people did, right?
Isn't it kind of funny that all the way up in Washington, D.C., that they're working with the test scores down here in Tennessee in each school and in each community?
It's scary.
It is scary.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't – we've lost touch. And it is losing touch when you're you've got professional educators over here in our school system, and it is the school system that has worked well for well over 100 years, and yet we're getting directions from a place that really the business doesn't seem to be handled very well on a day-to-day basis up there.
Well, I would want to listen to the principal and the people that are directly involved in that process, And I don't mean this to be demeaning to anyone. I absolutely do not. But there's a world of things that happen in Rutherford County, various businesses and things that people do that I don't know anything about. I don't know anything about it. And so I'll go and ask and try and find out if it involves me. But everybody seems to think they can run a school, mm-hmm. and everybody seems to think they've got opinions as to how schools need to be run and what needs to be taking place there and all that kind of, and they have no clue as to what that principal and that faculty and the counselors and staff are going through every day to try to keep that place humming along like it should. And it's a huge job.
You know, it's a shame that it's almost like you're held hostage when you're running a school system anymore because of the amount of money that it takes to run them. And as you know probably better than most, the major part of the funding of the schools is not actually here. It comes from the federal and the state government, and it's divvied out accordingly. And when you start looking at, you know, politics, when it starts mixing with education, I think we've got a problem, because when you have, you know, political leaders that are out pushing certain things for education that you know is not going to be a successful way of dealing with it. I really wish we didn't have so much politics involved in our local school system. Of course, we always have up to a degree.
Yeah, but it's I think better than it used to be. Most of our funding for the school system, just speaking of Rutherford County now, would come from a small portion of the sales tax, the property tax, mm-hmm. and the money that the state sends back to us, mm-hmm. BEP money, Basic Education Program money. I'd say that's the federal government really does not support local education that much. They'll support it through the state, but we don't get checks from them very very often.
But they lay down the guidelines.
Oh yeah, they do, unfortunately, and in many cases. And but what you said a minute ago is so important. You look at Rutherford County, and then you go to Hawkins County, or Fentress County, or you don't have to go far, go to Cannon County. Mm-hmm. And you'll see entirely different sort of things, entirely different problems, and the amount of money that they can raise off the tax rate is so small compared to what we can raise off the tax rate. Of course, we've got 40, soon to be 46 schools. Isn't that remarkable?
It 46 is. It's
schools.
Unbelievable.
So,
I think we've got more schools here than we did in Nashville when I was growing up.
That may be.
I believe that's true.
That may be. A lot of people, Nashville, problems that I hope we never have to face.
Yeah.
And they have almost, Truman, almost the same number of students in the Nashville public school system today that they had in 1970, almost the same number.
Wow.
People are running like crazy away from their schools and enrolling anywhere else, including Rutherford County, even moving here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's become still more expensive on them, and they just got a huge tax increase down there to support it, as you know.
And when all those things start happening, we start taking in problems from other schools.
We've done some of that. We sure have.
We have seen a lot of that over the years. And it just, we have so many people in this community and in across the country that are really up on education, the process, the way it should be. It seems like right now, when you start taking the attention of the superintendent, the principal, and the teachers away from dealing with the kids directly like they have in the past, then I can't see, I can see more harm in it actually than I can in positive results. I just don't really feel like that they're taking the entire process in that everybody's having to deal with. It's much more complicated than it should be.
And we don't have that personal contact that we used to have. When I was a boy or even a young starting teacher in the 70s and 80s, we don't have as much of that as we should have. And I think that's unfortunate. And our schools are probably too large. I don't think there's any question about that, but it's just so expensive to go the other route. I mean, we just can't. We have enough trouble as it is. We just can't afford it.
You and I would love to go back to the K-12.
Yeah.
Back in the 40s and the early 50s and like that, because it was like a family in that school. I mean, you knew everybody, parents, grandparents, all that. And you were in the same class with the same kids all the way through 12 grades. And you kind of grew together. You developed friendships, and the teachers had a really bird's eye view of everything that's going on with each child.
I was tremendously lucky in many ways. I didn't know it at the time, but I really didn't worry about it. I got along fine, and everything went well for me. But I was at campus school for the first 4 years, Rockvale Elementary for the next four, and then came back to the city into the city, but it's still a county school, to Murfreesboro Central to do 4 years of high school. So, and I was reunited with a lot of those people that were at campus school, you know, mm-hmm. that I hadn't seen in 4 years. But it was a tremendous experience for me. But it was small class, less than 30, and we knew everything there was to know about each other. And a teacher did. And at Rockvale, W. Reed, who was our principal out there and later assistant principal at Riverdale, and still attends my church, as a matter of fact. And he knew everybody in school. He knew everybody there, everybody's family. And I was telling somebody this the other day, I don't know, I might have said this, but you just had Larry Stewart on the other day. And I forget the number, but they came down 1 year, that's about 10 years ago, and they asked every principal to put on a map where each child in their school lived,
mm-hmm.
each family.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember how many we had, Truman, at Las Casas at that time, probably 300 or 400 total from K through 8, okay? Mm-hmm. And the idea was that if these people are coming over from Cannon County and Smith County and Wilson County, mm-hmm. into our schools, We want to know that. Mm-hmm. So you need to tell us where these people actually live. Mm-hmm. All right. I want to tell you there was 400 kids, but I may be wrong with that.
Wow.
Larry Stewart knew 392 of them by memory.
Oh, I guarantee you.
Only 8 people he didn't know where they lived. Mm-hmm. Isn't that remarkable?
He never lost touch with them either.
No. And of course, he also, if a bus driver got sick, something went wrong, Larry'd drive the bus. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not talking about 1945 here. We're talking about the 90s. So, anyway.
People don't realize how hands-on our principals were here and how committed they were into the success of each student that they had come through there. I have learned a lot just having guests on the show and finding out some of the inner workings that they were going through. And people would be amazed and absolutely, you know, everybody in the Laskassic community needs to call up Larry Stewart and thank him for all that he's done. And Butch and you and everybody else, it seems like you guys, and maybe we're getting back to that old subject again, the principals were actually hands-on with the students rather than having to deal with all these other things.
Of course, if you're K through 8, you've got a little bit better chance of being able to do that, maybe dealing with younger kids than you would with high school kids, which, I love them to death. I taught them for about 15 of my 31 years. But, you know, high school students are a lot smarter than you and me. They know everything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they do.
You know, and they can be pretty distant, and they're hard to get to know sometimes. They just don't want to fool with you. You know, we're way too old for them.
Did you kind of feel like when you were coaching that was kind of a reprieve, getting out of the classroom and dealing with the kids on another level?
Yeah, and I had a lot of coaches tell me that around the mid-state, both while I was coaching and after I was coaching and just doing radio and then and writing for the Murfreesboro Post and so forth. And they'll still tell you that today. And there was a good friend of mine that coached at Loretta, and Jerry Taylor and his assistant coach was an assistant principal, and he said, "Hey," he said, for 7 hours a day, I deal with just people that I just soon never see again. Mm-hmm. He said, "But at 3 o'clock, I get to deal with about 15 of the best young women you'll ever meet."
That's amazing.
Yeah, and he said that keeps me going.
And there's something about athletes that their desire. It seems like they're more tense and more interested in what they're doing.
Generally speaking, I think that's true. I know Ben Cates and I have had many discussions on that, mm-hmm. and the quality of people that he coached and worked with. First of all, if you didn't have pretty good qualities and ability and character, you probably weren't going to play for Ben anyway very long. Those things reveal themselves pretty quickly, don't they, in athletics?
Yeah, they do.
If you're just in a classroom person sitting there and not going to do whatever, maybe they can hide that. Maybe all year they can hide it just in – barely do their job, barely scrape by. But if you're a athlete, it shows up quick.
Doesn't that kind of transpose over into the classroom, the way you deal with kids, for the simple reason that every kid has different abilities in something? Some kids are great in basketball, baseball, football. Some are all the way around the board. But doesn't that kind of relate a little bit to the classroom, too, that all kids are not going to be great in math and science? And you know, we all have certain abilities. I was kind of left out of all of them, but, you know, there are some that just like – I think that one of the best things they did in the county was the magnet schools. I love that idea.
Good idea. Yeah. And the Thurman Francis, McFadden, and the Central Magnet have been extremely successful, and I'm hoping we can do something on the high school level at some point in the Smyrna-Laverne area. We'll see.
And maybe reach out into other areas that will make them more successful when they leave education and going into the occupation of their choice. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Jeff Jordan.
Next is the Better Business Focus with Terry Page.
ProLift Systems is involved with all aspects of foundation repair. ProLift Systems 481-4735 has 2 decades of experience in residential and commercial construction and foundation repair in Murfreesboro and surrounding areas. ProLift Systems 481-4735. If you notice drywall cracks, doors and windows that are hard to open, cracks in mortar, or water in the crawl space, call ProLift Systems at 481-4735 for a free inspection and estimate.
Have you ever thought about who decides if a product or service meets the customer satisfaction test? Who decides if the business performs better than others? It's not the business, but the customer. Our business community knows their customers decide if they have met the test. Customers, when you have a concern, don't go away. Give the business a chance to resolve your issues. This is Terry Page with your local Better Business Bureau.
The Outpost Armory is not just another gun store. Our staff has hands-on knowledge and experience with firearms, self-defense training, hunting, and competitive shooting. We cater to the new gun owner and the expert looking for that hard-to-find product. We carry items that the big chain stores don't and have bulk ammunition for the high-volume shooter. We defend the Second Amendment and help responsible citizens protect their families, rights, and liberties. Visit us in person or online at theoutpostarmory.com. The Outpost Armory, I-24 East at Exit 89 in Murfreesboro.
It's time. Blue Raiders.
Support your Blue Raiders as they compete for back-to-back Sun Belt Conference titles. Men's and women's basketball combo season tickets are on sale now and start as low as $199. Don't miss a single three-pointer. Score a slam dunk with season tickets today.
Show your true blue. Support your Blue Raiders. Tickets available at GoBlueRaiders.com or call 1-888-YES-MTSU. Go Blue Raiders.
Hi, I'm Don Patterson, an internal medicine physician with Middle Tennessee Medical Group, a new multi-specialty office dedicated to the health and well-being of you and your family. Our physicians provide expertise in family and internal medicine, as well as other specialties. Middle Tennessee Medical Group offers two locations in Murfreesboro for your convenience. To make an appointment with a Middle Tennessee Medical Group physician, call 396-6800 or visit middletnmedicalgroup.com.
To bag the deer of a lifetime, you have to be prepared. That's why you need to shop Murfreesboro Outdoors.
This is Randy at Murfreesboro Outdoors. We get camouflage clothes, shotguns, shells.
Murfreesboro Outdoors on Northwest Broad Street.
The Truman Show now continues on the voice of Rutherford County, WGNS, AM and FM.
And welcome back with Jeff Jordan. We want to let you know that the last part of his show is brought to you by At Home Care. And when you and your family members need assistance for a day, a week, or indefinitely, At Home Care is ready to sit down with you and help devise a practical plan to meet your family's needs. At Home Care is different than any others you see in the local marketplace because they're owned and operated by longtime Murfreesboro resident Melissa Warren. That means that Home Care is hands-on, involved in your family members' care and satisfaction all day, every day. At Home Care provides top-quality professional caregiving services throughout Rutherford County and Middle Tennessee. Whether you need a 24/7 companion, ongoing assistance with transportation to church or doctor's appointments, laundry, housekeeping, personal care, or more, At Home Care is here for you. At Home Care, reach them at 713-4639, online at homecaretennessee.com. That's 713-4639. At Home Care, your number one source for the best care in Middle Tennessee. Now, we're in a really big sports area right here.
We are.
We've got MTSU, has some great teams. Basketball's getting ready to get started. High school, they're getting at the end of football and ready to start the championship run. How do we look as far as football right now?
Well, Blue Raiders, first of all, have got a critical ball game tomorrow against Texas that we just really have got to win. And I'll be there, hopefully, to witness them doing that. My wife really is, she's a louder fan than I am anyway.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, I know. high school football, it looks like Eagleville and our four Murfreesboro schools, high schools, in 6A are going to be in the playoffs. It looks that way.
That's good.
That is remarkable showing. It really is. The question I get, which is the subject of my column on Sunday, is Siegel good enough to win it all? I guess that's a fair question because they did win the district, and but it ignores the fact maybe that Blackman, Riverdale, and Oakland are all going to be in there too. And but at any rate.
which Siegel has handled.
I would think Siegel would be our best chance this year to win a state championship in football. I would say so. I don't think anybody can get mad at me for saying that. Surely not.
So, I don't know. I can see some parents that have kids at Riverdale and Blackman.
They don't like you to pick against their team and that kind of thing. And they think, well, that's the way he wants it to come out, and that's not true. I don't really care. I'd like somebody to win.
Siegel is remarkable to be as strong as they are in such a short period of time. It really is. And so is Blackman. Blackman's made some huge runs as newer schools. You know, one time we had Riverdale and Oakland, and that was the big fight for the championships.
Right.
And now we've got all these other schools that are coming up, and they're facing anybody right now.
Riverdale's had some bumps in the road here in the middle of the year and even late in the year, but played great last week. Mm-hmm. Oakland, I think, is peaking just at the right time. Siegel had a little struggle last week, maybe looking ahead. I don't know. They're playing a good team. Mm-hmm. Independence was a very good team. Blackman, I think has overachieved. I hope Phillip Shadowin doesn't get mad at me. I think they play better than they should. And they're really well coached.
What's really remarkable, Jeff, is that you've got all these schools that keep taking other students away from their sports programs as they grow, and it's not watered it down one bit. We still are competitive with just about, or more than competitive with any football team in the state of Tennessee.
Yeah, and we've had troubles in very few sports as we have expanded. Of course, our population has expanded as well, and our principals have had the almost every case have had the good sense to hire terrific people.
Mm-hmm. Great coaches.
Yeah, and it's not the only reason for that. I can't think of really any good reason. The reason is not money. We pay way too little, but we do pay more than a lot of counties. So that may be one reason that they're here. We've also had a lot of success here. Mm-hmm. I mean, people think football success. What do they think of? They think of Riverdale.
Right.
That's what they think of. Okay, I'm not arguing with that point, but Riverdale's won 4 state championships. Mm-hmm. Well, Oakland's won 3.
Right.
Smyrna's won 2 and went another time. And Oakland's been there 2 other times. So,
of course, go back to Old Murfreesboro Central, too.
Yeah, 1970.
Look how many difference. Probably more than any other city.
When we win, if Siegel...
Or county, I should say.
Yeah, if Siegel were to win it this year, that would be 10 champions in 42 years. Now, that's pretty good. That's at the top level. That's at the top level. With I'm not sure how many schools are in the top level now. It's varied, of course, over the years, but it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 60. Mm-hmm. And we have won. It's always been 55 or 60. And when Murfreesboro Central went in 1970, there were 4 teams in the playoffs. 4. You had to be almost. Matter of fact, maybe all 4 of them were. He had to be unbeaten. Mm-hmm. Couldn't have more than 1 loss.
Right.
The next year, Murfreesboro Central lost a game, and they were out of the playoffs before they ever even started.
How many?
Now there'll be 32. There'll be 32 this year.
Right. How many athletes from the 1970 team on the football team went to major colleges? It was an unbelievable.
Yeah, it was.
Something like 16.
Yeah, Butch Vaughn would know exactly. Yeah. You probably ought to ask him. He was the coach there. Ray Hughes, somebody would know. A number of those youngsters went on, and I think they still remain, to me at least, the best team that ever played here. Maybe Riverdale's 94 team might have been better, but boy, we've had some great people. We've had some great kids.
I would put that team, 1970 team, against any team in the country.
I think so too.
They were unbelievable.
I think they were the best that I've ever seen play. Now there may have been others, but
we're almost the SEC, I guess, of high school football.
Well, I'd like to think that we could go. I think all our teams will, unless we're playing each other in this crazy playoff system that the TWSAA is. Has got unless we play each other.
Of course, we got that hotbed over in Maryville, Tennessee.
Well, there, but at least that's just one team. I noticed. I think Coach Rankin is he unbeaten, Brian? He 9-0. It was 10-0 because he played this week. I think you just said that.
They played CAK last night and beat them 31-28. The team they were previously undefeated too. Those two teams may meet up in the title game if they can. I guess they'll be in the same bracket though. So
All right, now, who have we got tonight? Who are you? Where will you be tonight?
It's the Battle of the Borough.
Oh. Oh. Riverdale and Oakland.
It's at Oakland for the first time, I think Oakland fans say, in about 15 years. But it's not.
Well, who do you think's going to be... Who do you think is going to be winning tonight, Brian?
I know his pick. I know who he picked.
I think Oakland maybe has a small edge at home.
Wow.
Maybe.
That boy, man. You thought you knew who he was going to pick, didn't you, Jeff?
Is that what you said in the paper?
I have no idea.
I don't think he said that in the paper. I've got to go home and check.
It's a toss-up,
you know,
game.
It is a toss-up. He's right. It's a toss-up.
You know, he's been doing this thing in the paper for I don't know how long. I have never seen him pick UT against anybody. I actually believe...
That's the only thing working out for me, actually.
Bingo.
Oh, that hurts.
Yeah. All right. It's been a great week. Now, you guys, if you get to go out and see your favorite team tonight, I mean, this is going to be a good night. It's going to be a little chilly. Probably need to take an umbrella with you or whatever. And next Monday morning at 9 a.m., you may want to run up here, Jeff.
Mm.
We're going to have Mr. Raymond Berry on, one of the greatest football players in the history of the NFL, in the Hall of Fame. One of the great guys in our community, and it's going to be a really super great show.
He is well represented on the county commission, I can tell you that much.
Oh.
He's my neighbor. I tell you, wasn't he the receiver of a decade,
the
first 50 years of the NFL or something?
Yeah, unbelievable. Yeah. He and Johnny Unitas made up the greatest pair that I think that's ever played football. And, you know, Johnny Unitas' record of consecutive football touchdown tosses in games was just passed just recently by Drew Brees, and we may touch on that a little bit, but I watched him a number of times, and oh man, what a great receiver.
Well, considering the fact today that they throw it like 60 times a game, I'm surprised it took so long. But I did ask I always call him Coach Berry because I didn't meet him until he was coaching New England, but he was I told him I admired his work ethic and so forth and how successful he was. And he very humble guy,
yes,
as you know,
he is.
Very soft-spoken. He said, well, it helps when you got the greatest quarterback in the world throwing you the ball. And I thought, well, that's right. Give the credit to somebody else. So that's okay.
What a great team they were.
They were.
And, you know, they won the greatest game that was ever played.
They did.
Against the New York Giants. Do you remember who scored the touchdown?
Let's see. Was it Amici?
Alan the Horse Amici. Yeah. Going to be a great day. See you guys. Have a great weekend.